All right, Revelation chapter 6, as we continue our study of the book of Revelation and the things to come. I am excited. I found out some, heard some interesting things this past week in regards to Revelation and the future events that we will not be here for. But Revelation chapter 6, reading verses 12, because we're looking at the sixth seal that is being broken by the Lord Jesus Christ. So reading verse 12 through 17. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb of God. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, we've gone through, obviously, the letters to the seven churches. We've gone through the first five seals that have been broken, and the four seals that reveal the four horsemen, the Antichrist, wars, death, famines, all that come upon the earth. And obviously we looked at just the church being raptured out before the wrath of God, before the seven-year tribulation. God calls us out and calls us up to him. We meet him in the air, and we are at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are in heaven during the time of this seven-year tribulation. But like I said before, there's different people I listen to. One is Worldview Weekend, and by Brandon House, and he compares a lot of the stuff going on in America, stuff going on in the world. He'll compare it to Scripture and different things. And there's other people I listen to and kind of follow. And it's interesting. I heard something. I don't think I printed that one. No, I did not. But some interesting things in the news. So just listen before we get into the sixth seal. Now, we talked about the rapture, all right? Now, there is coming a great deception, all right? The Antichrist is going to appear as the savior of the world, all right? But how can you get so many people to follow this Antichrist? How will the rapture truly affect the world? Because, you know, we always talk about, well, when the rapture happens, the world's going to be in chaos, you know, because, you know, airplanes without pilots, cars without drivers, you know, just believers all over the world just disappearing, millions at once just gone. How can you explain that? Now, we can explain it, but how does the world explain it? How does the world prepare for what's coming? Because a lot of people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ believe in Armageddon. They believe in there's an end coming. They believe in some great war that's going to take place. It's very interesting that, and I looked up the article myself as well, but this guy, Brandon House, he was talking about the rapture. And again, everything that's happening in our world right now, we're not in the tribulation. Nothing that's going on in our world right now is part of the seven-year tribulation. China, Russia, Gog and Magog, the Bible talks about, they will form an alliance together to come against Israel. And there's some other countries that are part of Magog in the scriptures. But when you think about China and Russia, they recently, just within the last week or so, Putin and whatever the guy's name is that's head of China, actually had a meeting together. And they have made an alliance together. And it was, and the Chinese president, again, Qing or whatever his name is, made a statement when they got done with their meeting. They came out in front of the press and everything. He thanked Putin for his friendship and made the statement, and that, not quoting him because I don't recall every word he said, but he basically, as he was talking to Putin in front of the press, said, "We are about to do something that hasn't been done in 100 years. And there's a lot of speculations in regards to what that is, but when you think about the Bible and Gog and Magog making alliance, it's happening. Because they're going to come against Israel in these last days that we're reading about in the book of Revelation. A lot of things are going to be happening. So, I mean, that's happening. Smaller banks are closing. I was going to say foreclosed, that's houses. But you know, smaller banks are closing. Some banks in California have closed. They've basically gone bankrupt, all right? It's all about going to a one-world currency and a digital currency. It's just the stage being set, okay? The stage being set, our own military leaders are saying that by 2025, we will be at war with China. We will be at war with China, but not like World War II. It's going to be cyber war. It's going to be where they take, and they're even saying this, where they take out our power grid. They totally take all of our communications and everything. And this is our own military saying, because listen, we have allowed China to become a superpower. We've allowed them because we have given them money to build all their military. They now have China has these drones, these military attack drones that they can send into outer space and it will come down somewhere else. I mean, their military, this is all documented. In fact, this is some of this stuff I'm getting from the AmericanMilitaryNews.com, which is what Brandon House cites on some of his stuff, where there's this stuff that they're saying. I mean, we have allowed, recently Iran killed one of our American contractors in Syria, sent a drone, and it killed this American contractor. And thankfully, Biden retaliated. He actually allowed our military to send airstrikes there, okay? But the fact that Iran is, again, another country that we allowed to have their nuclear program, even though there was supposed to be no nuclear, right? Remember, years ago, we sent people in there to look. Nope, can't find anything, right? Because it's all underground. And that's note, they actually have, Iran has a military base underground that you can't see. So, I mean, what I'm saying is all these countries that are going to come against Israel, they're strengthened. They are strengthened in military might. They're going to come together in allegiance with one another. All right? Just different things happening. But going back to the rapture, how can you cause those that are left behind to fall in line with a world leader and what's happening? Because you can't explain millions of people disappearing all at once. I mean, a non-believer cannot explain that. We can explain it, right? But a non-believer can't explain it. But here's an article that Brandon House from Worldview Weekend was talking about, and I kind of copied it, all right? So here's a false explanation of the rapture of millions of born-again believers. Here's the headline that was in the American Military News. Alien mothership may be sending probes to Earth, Pentagon UFO chief posts with Harvard professor and draft paper. So this alien mothership may be sending probes to Earth. What has been the one thing people have been fascinated for years? UFOs, right? And people having their abduction experience, right? I was abducted and all of this, right? It makes sense now that you're programming people, disappearance of people, all that, people coming back, you know, some alien, because for years they've been talking about aliens, you know, from light years away, and oh, I think we can hear them and all this stuff, and maybe Mars is, you know, populated, all of this stuff. But in this report, they're citing that there is a alien mothership between Earth and the sun, all right, sending probes, basically sending aliens, all right? Now, it's foolish, but it's genius. It's genius that the devil would come up with this scheme causing people to believe in aliens because the aliens are friendly. They're here to help, right? Now, this is what it says. A mysterious object in our solar system could be an alien mothership sending smaller probes to monitor the Earth, according to a new draft report co-authored by the head of the Pentagon's UFO Research Office. Sean Kirkpatrick, director of the Pentagon's new All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, put forward the theory in a recently released but still unfinalized paper he wrote with a long-serving head of Harvard University's Astronomy Department, Abraham Loeb. The paper explores the idea that extraterrestrial life is already visiting us in the form, which in 2017 became the first interstellar object discovered traveling through our solar system. The authors say, and again, it calls it an extreme flat ship. And lack of a comet-like tail raised the possibility that it was thin and artificial in origin. So anyway, just our military is kind of putting out there, UFOs, you know, people being abducted, it's okay. They're just trying to study us. They just want to know more about us. They want to help us. So you know what? When millions of people disappear, guess who's going to come on the scene? The one who's in charge of the mothership, right? The devil, the Antichrist. He'll be the one to, oh, you know what? I have the solution for your world, for your earth, all right? So, I mean, just, again, all of this is just to program people into thinking UFOs are okay, aliens are our friends. You know what? These Christians, because As more I read about it, when we disappear, when we're raptured, the born-again believers are raptured, those who are left behind are unbelievers. And we've already talked about, we will continue to talk about Israel. God turns his focus back to Israel during those 7 years, okay? And there'll be people that do get saved during that time, okay? The Bible's clear, it tells us that. But at the moment that millions have disappeared, Christians, we don't know how bad the world's going to be. We don't know what it's going to be like here, right? I mean, I can only imagine, if Biden is allowed to stay another year and a half, until his term is up, how bad is it going to be for us? Inflation's going up, all this stuff, right? So there's already, around the world, America hasn't really suffered. Christians in America, Christians who have been born and raised in America, really haven't suffered for the name of Christ, like so many around the world are suffering right now, okay? We're the bad people. The Christians are the bad people. So when the rapture happens, I don't think there's going to be chaos like it's been preached about. I mean, there'll be chaos as far as planes without pilots and stuff. There'll be chaos, but I think the people left behind will have been programmed so much into, the government helping, these aliens helping, whatever, that, finally, these Christians were just, they were just riding my back, always want me to go to church, want me to believe in their Jesus. My Savior's here, the Antichrist, right? So it's just some interesting things that are being talked about, and the fact that our military you know, personnel, the higher ups are, you know, promoting, you know, just this friendly stuff. Because I'll be honest, let's see, what year was it? And I'll get to the Bible lesson. Just some of this was interesting as I was listening to it and was thinking, wow, I mean, that just makes sense. And, you know, how can you control? How can one man come on the scene and cause the entire world to be at peace? And he's not Jesus Christ. It's deception, right? It's deception. He's a deceiver. But in order to have control, you have to program people's thinking. You have to, you know, help them just, you know, acclimate to what's going to happen. That's why, you know, again, movies that come out of Hollywood and stuff, it's all about, you know, programming people's mind, getting them to think, you know, Jesus is a rebel, you know, Jesus is the enemy, but, you know, the devil, you know, he's our savior and all that. It's just, it's wicked. The Bible tells us it's going to happen. We just don't know. We don't know. John writes what he sees. These things are revealed to him, and he writes with his vocabulary of the day what he sees. All right? Just like Ezekiel in his day had to use the vocabulary that he had for his day and write down the things he was seeing, that eyes in a wheel and all the different things that he saw. Okay? But again, we don't know what it's going to be like, but we do know this. I am guaranteed and confident we are not going to be here, because the Bible says so. The Bible tells us we're not going to be here. But it doesn't tell us how bad. Jesus just says in the last days it's going to be like the days of Noah. And if you look, it kind of is. I mean, man's imagination of his heart is just wicked continually, right? I mean, just the sexual perversion in our world, and just one word you don't hear anymore is transvestite. You don't hear that word anymore. Why? Because they've changed it to transgender to be more politically correct, right? It's no more sodomy. It's not a sodomite, right? It's even, they're even trying to change the name pedophile. What does pedophile mean? If someone said he's a pedophile, oh, I want to go meet him. No, what? You think, where are my kids, right? They're changing it. Now they want to be known as, oh, how's it? Anyway, it's basically like this: minor attracted, something like that, where they're attracted to minors, but they're changing pedophile. That's kind of harsh, you know. Right? So it's, you know, we're minor attractive people, okay? But see, that's the thing. Our world, Hollywood music, the world music, all is trying to cultivate this idea that age doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. But again, you have to change people's thinking for them to accept a lie, to accept what's not true, to even accept sin, right? I mean, it's just, again, our world is getting worse and worse. All right, so let's go on. Again, just interesting things as far as what's in the news and things. I'm just looking. I mean, I'm kind of excited about this sixth seal, just because of what occurs here, because I had this image in my head when I was reading and studying this yesterday. But Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So, all right, we've had the four seals with the different horsemen riding out, and again, these are the judgments of God. The Antichrist is a judgment of God against this world because they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the Prince of Peace, okay? So, again, these are the judgments of God being poured out. There's the sixth seal here. He speaks of an earthquake, all right, because the other seals were the horsemen bringing in destruction, devastation, famine, persecuting the Jewish nation, persecuting Christians. But now this earthquake, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And again, who is he that opens the sixth seal? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that is only worthy to take the book out of the hand of God and to open, to break these seals and to basically pronounce these judgments. All right? So, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. We have earthquakes. Jesus said, in the last days there will be earthquakes in diverse places. There's been earthquakes all over this world, but this earthquake is going to be a worldwide earthquake. A worldwide earthquake like Noah's flood was worldwide. It wasn't just in his region. It was a worldwide flood. And again, because it says the sun became black as sackcloth of hair and the moon became as blood. All right, it's a worldwide event that takes place, this great earthquake. And I've got some different earthquakes here that have happened over the years and centuries. They're in your notes. Indonesia in 2004. Again, how many people have died in these earthquakes? Can you imagine the earthquake that takes place in the end, the sixth seal? These earthquakes that have happened in the world, even up until now, do not compare. Now, thousands of lives have been lost during earthquakes, and I've got these in your notes, just some different earthquakes with the number of people who have died in them. But when this earthquake, this worldwide earthquake happens, I don't think you'll be able to count them. It'll be millions. But again, Indonesia in 2004, 283,000 died. Iran, two earthquakes, 2003, had roughly 26,000. In 1990, there was 40,000 to 50,000 that died. Armenia in 1988, 25,000 died. In 2001, in India, 20,000 died. In 1999, 17,000 died. In Turkey, Mexico, 10,000 to 30,000 died in 1985. Notice China. 1976, 255 to 655,000 died in that earthquake of 1976. But it's on record, again, this is, I don't know if this is actual factual, but they listed in the year 1556 that China had an earthquake and 1 million people died. Kind of tells me right there, God was already judging China. I mean, China just has not been a good country. Now, we've had missionaries to go there. Peru, 66,000 died in 1970. In the USSR, specifically in that region, 1948, 110,000 died. In 1908, in Italy, 70 to 100,000 died in an earthquake. In San Francisco, in 1906, 3,000 died. And these are not all the earthquakes that have ever happened, but just some. All right. Now, with this judgment, though, with this judgment of an earthquake with the sixth seal, I mean, just, again, let's just think about it. The Antichrist has come onto the scene. He has conquered the world with just military might, but without raising any type of war, because he's the one on the white horse with a bow but no arrow. So he comes, he's able to take over the world as the one world leader. But then obviously he strikes up the peace deal with Israel for 7 years. He breaks it at the 3.5 year mark because he wants to be worshiped as God. He sits in the new temple that is going to be built. And you have then he makes war with everybody else. I mean, the famines, all the catastrophes that happen because of war and this extensive war that the Antichrist will wage upon the world under his control. With this judgment, this one earthquake, we move to a new degree of severity in the judgments of the tribulation. Up until this point, we have judgments poured out from the hand of God through the agency of man Because man is capable of producing war. He's capable of producing famine. He's capable of producing disease and death and martyrdom. But man cannot shake the earth with a massive quake that rocks the globe. Right? We can produce wars, and with wars comes, you know, if you devastate a place, comes famine, comes all these hardships, right? And I was thinking, I thought I had one, but I don't. But you know, the little ball globes with the houses inside, you turn upside down with the snow and stuff. I was just picturing in my mind, because God is the one that causes this earthquake. I was just envisioning my mind, God having the world in his hand, taking it, just doing like that to it. Because at the end of this chapter, all the men of the earth are scared to death. They are terrified. They're asking the mountains to fall on us, to hide us from the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So I can imagine all this is happening, and then when God shakes the earth and kind of pulls the curtain back, like, you know, he really rattled them up, and they see him, they're scared to death. They weren't scared to death until now. No one is afraid of God now. Right now, people throw their, if you truly are up there, do this, right? People blaspheme God, all this. But the day that God shakes the earth and basically reveals himself, pulls the curtain back, they're not praying for deliverance from, you know, they're not praying for his deliverance. They're praying for the mountains to fall on them. They're praying for death, right? So again, I mean, just picturing, you know, God just taking the earth and shaking it. Now, when we look in the Bible, though, the earthquakes that are in the Bible, that we record in the Bible, have always been associated with God's presence. Some examples here in Judges chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In Psalm 68, the psalmist says, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. There's some other verses there you can look at as well. You know what? Go down to the last one here, Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, 7. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill their house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. So often the earthquakes recorded in Scripture that were literal earthquakes, they happen. It's not symbolic. They literally happened, yet it was God showing himself, manifesting himself to the people. And sometimes it would be associated with him working out his purpose. What did God want to accomplish with the earthquakes that he was causing? Well, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is where Moses went up on the mount, right? Twice, 40 days each. Was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. He was manifesting himself to Moses and the people that he brought out of Egypt, but also he was manifesting his glory and for the people to have fear towards him, because, right, he would even tell Moses, tell them, don't even come to this mountain. You touch it and you're going to die. No, the people, any animal, all right? So God having to show his awesomeness to really gain the reverence and respect that he needed from the people. In Matthew 27, the Bible says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and rocks rent. Now, I mean, the earth quaked right where they were at. Not the whole world, but right where they were at in Jerusalem. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose after the earthquake that God caused, because Jesus crying out, it is finished, right? And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So God used that earthquake, obviously, to get the attention of many, but specifically one realized this truly was the Son of God. All right, Matthew 28, verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. All right, moving on, earthquakes in the Bible also have been associated with God's anger against the wicked, all right, to show his appearance, to work his purpose, but also to judge against the wicked, Numbers 16. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah and all their goods. You go back to Numbers. You see those that would rise up against God's plan of using Moses and try to get people against Moses. And God causes an earthquake that obviously opens up the ground and swallows Korah and all of those that were on his side. God uses it for judgment. Turn on the backside. So moving on with the earthquake listed here under the sixth seal, we see the effects of this worldwide earthquake. It says in verse number 12, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Several things, you go on, and the men are afraid, but several things that come about from this worldwide earthquake that God causes. God shakes it violently like it never has been shooken before. And I think, again, as I was thinking about this, that sometimes God has to do something to get someone's attention. For me, I grew up going to church, but when I became a teenager, my parents divorced when I was 13. I was very angry at them for doing it. I was angry at my dad for doing it because, you know, just our family split up, and then my mom's having to work three jobs, you know, to provide for me and my sister. I was just full of anger and stuff. So, you know what? As a young teenager, I turned my back on God, wouldn't go to church, got into heavy metal music, all that stuff that goes along with it, and just, could care less. And it wasn't until I think I was 21, that my wife's brother died at the age of 28 from cancer. I mean, it just, really what killed him was the doctors, because they talked him into doing an experiment. And he said, oh, yeah, no problem. I'm going to live. I mean, he believed in God. He says, oh, yeah. But as soon as did the experiment, he died within a matter of days. Anyway, 28 years old, that got my attention. Because people die. But I had only known people that were old. Like my age now, 49, right? Old people, right? And it was like, that was an eye-opener. It's like, wow. I guess you don't know when you're going to die. I mean, I guess God doesn't have to let me live till I'm 50 or 60 or 70, right? So God used the death of my brother-in-law to get my attention back on him. So I can see where, you know, God's used different things in different people's lives to get their attention. Moses, the burning bush, right? That got Moses' attention because he drew near to it, right? But when you think about everything that's going on, with all the devastation, because as we continue going through Revelation, you're going to see where it says they still would not turn to the Lord. They still would not sin against themselves and turn to the Lord. So I can imagine all the devastation that's going on at this time, then all of a sudden this this whole world earthquake where God just shakes it, gets everybody's attention, and basically they're looking up like, what's going on? And there they see him high and lifted up upon his throne. And they're like, praying for the mountains and rocks to fall them. Hide us from his face. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb of God. God has to get their attention. Hey, you are wrong. All those that disappeared, they were right. You guys are wrong. But here are the here are the different effects. The first one, the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. There's some possibilities. You know, again, the moon becoming, you know, black, black as the sackcloth of hair, or I'm sorry, the sun and the moon became as blood. All right, didn't become blood, but came the color of blood. Possibilities are solar eclipse. A solar eclipse could cause that type of effect. Also, a volcanic explosion with a massive dust storm could cause that. All right. But again, I've already kind of prefaced it in saying, you know, God's the one that shakes it. All right. But how? Maybe it is with nuclear war. Because think as I was thinking about this, because just about, I mean, again, Iran's got nuclear weapons. Russia's got nuclear weapons. We have nuclear weapons. China has nuclear weapons. I mean, just, can you imagine a worldwide earthquake so massive that it just rattles all the nuclear weapons around the world and they start exploding, you know? They start going off and start exploding because God is that powerful. Again, we don't know, so I mean, I can't definitely tell you, okay, this is what causes it, but this is the effect of that earthquake, right? That devastating earthquake. And then also the stars of heaven fall unto the earth. Now, I kind of looked up and I heard some different opinions on that. Some think, well, it's just a meteor shower that, you know, we see, but the Bible says unto the earth. The stars fell, and someone else gave. Well, you know what? That's when the devil Michael and his angels, you know, they kick the devil and all his angels out of heaven, because you know we have that in Scripture where they are cast out. All right. But again, when you think about the different things that are happening, and these are happening in progression, these seals are happening in progression. Again, I don't think it's just, you know, shooting stars that you see in the night sky. I believe it's literal stars, meteors falling down to the earth, because the Bible says this earth is going to burn up. And it could be a couple of different effects to that burning up, you know, nuclear war, you know, meteor shower. So again, possibilities for this could be a meteor shower raining upon the earth, an asteroid, a comet strike, nuclear missile attack. And somebody gave just the example of, it's called an intercontinental ballistic missile, all right? And this type of missile can exit our atmosphere and come back down again somewhere else. And in the record, it says that it actually does, when it comes back, it kind of does look like stars. You know, when it explodes and kind of looks like stars. Again, what is John seeing? He can only write with his vocabulary what he's seeing. What is he seeing, right? He doesn't know what nuclear war is. He doesn't know what a nuclear bomb or anything like that is. He's like, well, man, it's kind of like this, you know? So again, you know, we don't know, because again, we're not going to be here. But man, it just reveals just the devastation that's coming. The devastation, the horror that people are going to go through that are left behind. People who refuse to believe in Christ now will go through a time that they will wish they had not. Then he goes on to say in verse number 14, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places." I wish I had some of this stuff, but you know what a scroll is. I mean, you unroll this scroll, okay? So you've got, I don't know what you call them. I would say two handles on either side, because a scroll, you know, it rolls out. And it says, when it's rolled together, saying that the heaven departed as a scroll enclosing upon itself. This is this kind of why I even said, you know, God shaking the earth and kind of revealing himself, pulling the curtain back, because you can't find the end of outer space. God's in control, right? But all throughout Scripture, it talks about it being like a curtain. Because you know what? I have curtains at my house. I close them so no one can see in, but also the sun doesn't come in when I want to go to sleep, right? But if I want to see outside, what do? I open it. I open the curtains and reveal myself, and I reveal what's out there, okay? So the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Again, possibility. If it is nuclear war going on, if it is, you know, nuclear destruction that's going on, the possibility of this, not talking about outer space, but our heaven, our atmosphere, all right? The possibility could be the rolling back of the atmosphere after a nuclear explosion, all right? After a nuclear explosion. I'm going to read this to you, another article I found, just in regards to nuclear weapons, all right? How nuclear war would affect Earth today. And again, and it goes on in our Bible, every mountain, island removed out of their place, okay? Again, this earthquake and everything that happens is going to displace the mountains and displace the land and everything. It's just going to be like we've never known before, though we won't be here. But again, if you would, just bear with me and listen. Today's nuclear war capabilities would have devastating impacts on Earth. If detonated, the smoke and soot from nuclear explosions would block out the sun, resulting in worldwide crop failure, plunging global temperatures and sea ice expansion that would throw the planet into a nuclear little ice age that could last up to thousands of years. But obviously, the Lord is in control of that. But again, this is... This is from the Louisiana State University and their Department of Oceanography and Coastal Sciences, all right? So Baton Rouge, Russia's invasion of Ukraine has brought the threat of nuclear warfare, because he's keeps talking about it, right, to the forefront. But how would modern nuclear detonations impact the world today? A new study published today provides stark information on the global impact of nuclear war. The study's lead author, Cheryl Harrison, and co-authors ran multiple computer simulations to study the impacts of regional and larger scale nuclear warfare on the Earth's systems given today's nuclear warfare capabilities. 9 nations currently control more than 13,000 nuclear weapons in the world. All right, according to the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. Now, in all of the researchers' simulated scenarios, nuclear firestorms would release soot and smoke into the upper atmosphere that would block out the sun, resulting in crop failure around the world. In the first month following nuclear detonation, average global temperatures would plunge by about 13 degrees Fahrenheit, a larger temperature change than in the last ice age. The sudden drop in light and ocean temperatures, especially from the Arctic to the North Atlantic and North Pacific Oceans, would kill the marine algae, which is the foundation of the marine food web, essentially creating a famine in the ocean. This would halt most fishing and aquaculture. When we read on, it talks about, you know, the blood, the waters turning to blood and all of this stuff. And just again, how a nuclear war, nuclear explosions could affect the Earth drastically, all right, and block out the sun and the moon as well, and make them look, the moon look as though it's blood and the sun black as sackcloth. The current war in Ukraine with Russia and how it has affected gas prices really shows us how fragile our global economy and supply chains are to what may seem like regional conflicts. Volcanic eruptions also produce clouds of particles in the upper atmosphere. Throughout history, these eruptions have had similar negative impacts on the planet and civilization. All right, she goes on to just say that's why we need to avoid nuclear war. But just the effects, okay, of a nuclear bomb. And really, if all the countries really got mad at each other and all just hit the red button, and they all just sent their nuclear weapons into effect. I mean, it's going to cause devastation like never before. Again, I just thinking about God shaking the world and shaking the earth, because God is the one that's in control. But he does use the wickedness of man, you know, to accomplish his will, what he wants done in the judgments against men as well. Very quickly in verses 15 through 17, though, with all this going on, the hearts of these men, it didn't matter rich, poor, didn't matter who they were, what their social status was. The Bible says they are terrified to death. And the kings of the earth, and the great man, the rich man, the chief captains, the mighty man, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks, mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The hearts of these men are terrified. Again, it didn't matter what their social standing was. Because remember, when the famine came, we already looked at that, where the wealthy would endure the time of famine. Because, you know, they have enough. But those that were unfortunate are going to die in the famine. All right? But they will not survive this judgment. All right, they all tried hiding themselves. They all prayed for the mountains and rocks to fall on them. They prayed for death. Again, it's amazing. People still want to say, well, you know what? If God showed himself to me, I'd believe. If God did this, I would believe. Listen, these people see God sitting on his throne. They know it's the wrath of the Lamb that they are facing and enduring. They don't pray for salvation. They pray for death. They pray for death. They don't pray for the salvation of the Lamb. They pray for death. Because they've been turned over to the reprobate mind. They have been rejected because they rejected Christ. Again, but what is it? I ask the question, what is it that terrified these men? They were not terrified up until now, but they are terrified to death, and it is because they see the face of him that sits on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wrath, they realize this is the wrath of the Lamb of God. They've been deceived, but it's too late for them. It's none other than Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah. And then in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Nobody is going to stand before the day of his wrath. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of all the earth. He will do right. He will pass judgment upon the wicked and upon those that rejected him. But he saves us. He calls us out. He calls us home. Again, like I said before, it's almost as if God pulls the curtains back and says, hey, here I am. Because remember on the road to Damascus, Paul, he was killing Christians, putting them in prison, and the Lord Jesus appeared to him. His glory, brighter than the noonday sun that Paul records, and the Lord spoke to him and said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Jesus revealed himself to Paul. God's going to reveal himself to the world, but there's no chance for these men to get saved. Again, God pulling the curtain back at this time. Several verses in the Bible, who alone stretches out the heavens? That's in Job 9:8. These aren't quotes, this is just what these verses are about. In Psalm 104, the psalmist talks about stretching out heaven like a tent curtain. In Isaiah 40, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. In Jeremiah chapter 10, he has stretched out the heavens. Zechariah 12, the Lord who stretches out the heavens. Again, outer space is God's curtain. It is God's curtain, and he's going to pull it back during this sixth seal judgment, and the men of this earth that have rejected the Lord, those who have been persecuting God's people, persecuting the Jews. They're going to see the Lamb of God. They're going to realize this is the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us from the face of Him who sits upon the throne. When every person sees God, when every single person dies, their perceptions, their own thoughts change. When a lost person, when a non-believer dies, the moment he takes his last breath is the moment he realizes there is a God. These men, though they rejected, yet they will bow the knee and say, "Thou art worthy," as they're cast into the lake of fire, right? But again, just exciting things that to look forward to, not the earthquake and stuff, but for us, we're spared from that. We're not going to go through that. And again, there's all kinds of different teachings out there, again, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath, all that stuff. When I read the Bible, it's plain as day that God does not leave us here. Did he leave Noah and his family to have to swim in the flood? No, he prepared it. He had an ark prepared. They had a way of escape. They got into the ark, then the flood came. So I mean, just different pictures throughout Scripture that reveal to us that God has not appointed us unto wrath. God has saved us from wrath, right? And some might wonder, why is Revelation in here? So we can warn other people, and when we're gone and our Bibles are left behind, and people find them and trying to find the answers of what's going on. Because that is what happened with the Lot. The Old Testament kings would have the Word of God brought to them. They realize, whoa, we have been sinning against God, right? Father, we do thank you this morning for just your goodness. We thank you for the truth of your word. And it truly is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, just different things to get excited about. But Lord, obviously many things that, Lord, all we can do is pray for our loved ones that continue to reject. Pray for our friends, our coworkers, those that just continue to reject. And pray, Father, they would turn to Christ before it's too late. But Lord, help us to continue to walk in the light. Lord, help us to continue to trust you, to follow you, and to allow you, Lord, to receive all honor, glory, and praise for the life that you've changed. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.